Welcome to Inside Out, The Naked Truth. Coming to you live from Lupin Lodge in the Los Gatos Hills of California, where clothing is optional, but the truth is always naked.
Nudity is not just skin deep, and we do our best to uncover our truth from common and not so common beliefs, perceptions, assumptions, and attitudes through conscious conversation, poetry, music, and humor.
I am Rochelle Alicia
and
Strider.
And I'm Errol Strider.
Tonight's show is brought to you by Go Raw, 100% raw food that not only tastes good, but is good for you.
And Go Raw can be found in Whole Foods, Trader Joe's, and the organic section of Costco, among other places. Go to goraw.com to find a store near you and find out more about Go Raw products. And I always love noting that Naked Truth is sponsored by Go Raw.
I know you do. Well, tonight's show is called...
It's called Creative Living.
Coming from a quote from the Arantia book, right?
Yeah. Would you like to hear it?
Yep.
Yeah. It's one of my favorite quotes from, this is one of my favorite books, for those of you who have never heard of it, Urantia, U-R-A-N-T-I-A book. It was named after a fatty food substance that was eaten in the Pythagoric, no? Never
Errol,
mind. I'm
don't
sorry.
Do that. People will believe you if you tell them things. You think it's funny, but to them you're telling the truth.
No, I don't think it's funny. I hope that it's funny.
It's
usually,
not.
It usually isn't. But Rochelle is able to...
Just tell us the quote.
Never mind. Okay, here it is. Religious living is devoted living, and devoted living is creative living, original and spontaneous. Let me do it again. This is good. Religious living. So stop and think for a minute what you thought or may have thought or your assumptions or beliefs are about religious living, because what we're saying here, at least what the Arantia book is suggesting, is devoted living, and get this, and devoted living is creative living, original and spontaneous. Wow. Talk about getting away from dogma and structure and form and ritual and just showing up in the moment and allowing what wants to show up manifest itself to our amazement, surprise, and often from a utilitarian perspective, a way to solve our problems.
Well, that's great. I mean, I thought, like, when I heard the topic, you know, when we talked about the topic, I asked myself the question, what does it mean to live creatively? I mean, does it mean that we should all be creating art? Or does it mean that life is our canvas, our musical score, our sculpture, our words, etc.? Or does it mean that as a creative son and daughter, we engage fully with life and give forth and celebrate the offspring of that engagement? So the answer for me to those three questions is yes, yes, and yes. I give forth.
There's no maybe in there.
No. I give forth this moment as a result of my engagement with it. I play with and create new images out of my engagement, and I celebrate each moment for the awesomeness of its newness. I like to think that every place, person, and situation I encounter is an opportunity to be creative, an opportunity to connect without preconceived notions, without judgment. When I am conscious enough to do this, I feel my heart expand. My thoughts align with the universal mind, and joy expresses itself through my very pores.
Can we get like two for one? That is so fabulous. Your very pores. And I know Rochelle's pores very intimately. She's got a bunch of pores. Let me just tell you this. You know,
no more or no less than any other person on this planet.
Depends on who's counting. Let me get started by sharing this poem with you called The Creator, and in many ways it kind of sums up sort of the essence of the creative process, at least for me, and it's called The Creator.
I jumped aside a moment today and found, to my surprise, a glittering gem on the sidewalk. an unobserved creature, trembling with brilliance and unquenchable insides. I jumped outside time today and felt a vagabond image hovering in the air, waiting to be realized. I stood apart from space today, peering inside to the undercurrents of unrecognized conclusions, possible actuals that exist between the unseen and the underside of what is. I backed away from traffic today of the sequence of events connecting one expectation to another, and discovered a kernel embryo slinking in a crevice, dying for attention. So I pulled it out with my mind, noticed it, and gave it life. If I hadn't stepped aside today, little gems would go unnoticed, inventions unrealized, and poems never written.
Bobby McFerrin.
Bobby McFerrin and Yo-Yo Ma.
And Yo-Yo Ma.
Yes, wow. Yo-Yo Ma. And thank you for them to be kind enough to underscore that poem.
When you were, reading that poem, I realized that I meet people who really do live creatively. And how I know it is because I feel that that poem expressed a certain joy of living creatively, of finding the gems, of hearing the music in the world that we live in, of experiencing the creative moment. And you can tell because they do it, they are joyful. They are joyful. And children are like that. They're totally creative all the time. They live creatively and they're joyful. And to keep that joyfulness in within us as we grow older, to me, is the, what is it? I'd say it's our, it's what we have to do. That's our work as human beings, to keep joy in our lives.
Well, we need to keep on the wonder. So let's, right? Keep mm-hmm. on, so let's bring on the wonder right now. Oops, the wonder didn't want to come on.
Which is wonderful.
It's wonderful, but you know what does want to come on? And I think this is where we need to go, really, to get creative, is back to the mystery. So let's see if we can go back to the mystery.
Tonight I'm dancing round this fire, kicking up some dust, raising one big holy racket to the heavens above. I'm dancing with my shadow like a scarecrow with the wind. Some ancient rhythm calls me back to the mystery again. Yeah. I roads from the east out to the west. I have gathered seeds of truth along the way, found blessedness. Like the North Star calls the geese back home, something calls to me. Like a sparrow on a fence post, I feel a need to sing. Oh, calling, yeah, calling me. Like the man in the moon calls a deep blue sea. Calling, calling me. Yeah, calling me back to the mystery. From the beggar's eyes down on Mission Street to the silver Milky Way, I am drawn in by the wonder, like a moth into the flame. Like the medicine man and the Eskimo, my ear is to the wind. Oh, silently reminding me of the mystery within. Oh, calling, yeah, calling me. Like the man in the moon calls a deep blue sea. Calling, calling me. Yeah, calling me back to the mystery. Hey, it's in the air I breathe. It's in the tears I cry. It's not the answers, but in the longing of the questions. Why? I stood in awe the day my children took their first new breath. And I was there beside my father at the hour of his death. Now I will treasure every moment I am given on this earth. And I will vow to the four directions. I will not give up my search. Oh, calling. Yeah, calling me. Like a man in the moon calls a deep blue sea. Calling, calling me. Yeah, calling me back to the mystery. Hey, calling. Yeah, calling me. Like a man in the moon calls a deep blue sea.
Calling us back to the mystery.
Who is that?
John Smith, one name. John Smith. He was Pocahontas' lover, I believe.
But and he's still around.
he's very old.
He's calling us back to the mystery. I can understand that.
He's
been here a long time.
Many times. For those of you who don't know Pocahontas, she was a Indian maiden, Native American woman, who assisted people in the beginning, was it Jamestown? Was it Virginia? Jamestown?
I think it was.
And at least as the story goes, the legend goes, I'm just starting this book by Philippa Gregory, and where one of the main characters has just landed in Jamestown in 16-something or other.
30, I think it was.
Yeah, after spending 6 weeks in what sounds like just a horrible situation. And now when I read about that and I experience these horrible situations and difficulties, I mean, that was one he chose. There are ones that we don't choose.
Yeah, well, you become a prisoner of some sadistic officer, and certainly not gentleman. People who are cruel to each other, it just breaks my heart, because I do not believe that cruelty has any place in creative living. I mean, if you're really creative, you're making such a connection with that other that there's no way that you could be cruel to them. It's just like to hurt them. I mean, it's like you would have to be willing to be feeling every pain of that other person to enter into creative living with them. And obviously, you're not going to do that if you're cruel.
Well, you're talking about kind of the maximum of separation.
Yeah.
We are so separated from one another that we can actually be cruel. And I think you're right on when you say that's kind of the opposite of creativity, because creativity comes out of the engagement.
Yes.
It certainly comes with no resistance. You open yourself up to that engagement and let it flow. So where did we go awry over there?
I don't know if we went awry as much as like the, it's so immature, it's so self-absorbed, cruelty. It's so like it all revolves around me. It has nothing to do with you. I don't see you, I don't know you. If I choose to get information, I get it any way I can. If I choose to listen to my superior officers who tell me to do this and I'm bucking for a promotion or something, I'll do it. It's totally self-absorbed, and I think self-absorption belongs in the immature category. We become more mature as we become more inclusive, as we become more connected to other. And so what I see on the planet right now, and it's pretty obvious if you read a newspaper. I try not to read the newspaper too much anymore, because the only thing that seems to change is the places and the names of the people. But the situations seem to be the same. You know, one group or one individual trying to up another group or individual, trying to best them, get what they can get as fast as they can. And it's eat and be eaten. It's reptilian brain. It's not... it has nothing, it's not very inspiring, that's for sure. It's a big downer, if anything.
Well, I suspect within all those machinations, there is a lot of creativity going on in the sense that people are giving birth to new combinations that lead to different choices, different opportunities, in fact, solutions to problems. So I suspect that even if your motives aren't caring, are in fact cruel, that you can devise all kinds of creative ways to be cruel to each other, and we have. And so the motivation doesn't seem to affect the creative ability to me.
But is it creative living? I could see that you're creative. Yes, you can be creative with your cruelty, but is it creative living? So you're not living creatively, but you're being creative in whatever arena you choose to be in. And is there a difference between the two?
It sounds like it. Bing! We've got a difference between creative living and being creative. So let's look at the creative living side and go back to that statement where it says original and spontaneous. So what that means is that we totally show up in this moment and we drop off the past. We drop off expectations, we drop off presumptions, and we certainly drop off our cynicism and all that self-absorption and cast ourselves into the infinite potential and see what comes up, driven by an intention, if we are connected with that which is most deep within us, the intention of achieving wholeness and giving an otherwise all-knowing source, God, something that maybe even God doesn't have, which is the surprise of experience as it unfolds in new and diverse ways.
The first sentence of that quote that you shared with us at the beginning of the program, religious living is devoted living. And I think the word devotion stands out for me more so even than spontaneous and original is devoted. And that's a fascinating word, devoted, because religion I always think of as creating a lot of separation, because religion is form, so much form, you know, this is the way we do this, and that becomes a religion. But something about devoted, there's something about giving oneself to a moment so fully and so spontaneously, let's say, but giving ourselves to it so much so that there's a devotion involved in it. It's not just I'm going to do this. I wonder if there. What is the dictionary definition of the word devoted?
Do you funny know? You should ask.
I knew you'd look it up. I do it.
Attachment, loyalty, fidelity, dedication.
Ah.
Commitment. And here is affection in the sense that it's being affection, fondness, care, attentiveness, support, dedication. The antonym, curiously enough, is neglect. So all the way at the other end of the continuum from being loyal and affectionate and fond and fidel. Is there a verb for fidelity? Fidel. And committed and dedicated. I asked a person one time what they were devoted to, and they said they weren't devoted to anything. So devotion does imply a level of embrace and
connection, engagement.
Connection and affection and wow, this is like juicy. It's like the ultimate juiciness that keeps drawing you, and what keeps providing that juiciness of vitality. We were reading this book about the hummingbird's daughter.
Oh yeah.
And there was this line about the character, I guess the father of the person who's called Hummingbird, and it talked about how excited he was just to get up and watch the worms grow. I mean, he was just whatever was going on.
He was a man who had devoted living, and he was not in the common sense of the word religious, but in the way that we're defining it today. He definitely was a man of passion and devotion, for sure. Really was. I mean, as you will read more, you will see that. The thing that I love so much about probing into creative living, and more than that, living creatively, is that it's wonderful. It sort of soothes the rough edges. It allows me to roll more than through life. It's more like rather than a
And sometimes it can be just as simple as changing your hand from the way you did it last time to the way you do it this time. Always looking for new possibilities. I was reading recently in Keys of Yeshua, where he compares judgments are to the mind what habits are to the body. And what I hear in that is that we can get into certain habitual ways and things that we do, and we miss that opportunity to discover that devoted moment where we engage something so affectionately that we literally bring forth a new phenomena to our awareness. And it's fantastic. It's the best way to live.
Sometimes when I am centered, and I try to be centered as much as possible, but I'm not always successful. But when I am centered and I'm just looking at something, a view that I had looked at many times in the past, and I can't bring yesterday's perception of that view to the moment because I'm right there. And so I see it anew. And when I see it anew, to me, that is the creative moment, seeing something anew, as if it's for the first time. That's what it means to me. And I love that. I spent a lot of time in Europe at one time, and when I came back to this country, I made I wouldn't say a pledge, but I made a promise to myself that I would try my best to see everything that I had been living in as if I were there for the first time, as if I had never seen it before, the way I had seen all the streets in Europe where I had truly never been there before. I wanted to see if I could do that with places that I had been. And I could. It was very easy. It was just like I just paid attention. And just by paying attention, I saw it for the first time. Just paying attention. So our little family motto, you know, show up, pay attention, stay in touch, to me is a way to live creatively.
As a dancer, I'm so aware of that creative vitality that I experience in the dance. And to me, that's a fabulous metaphor. So basically, what I'm learning by creative living is, in some ways, you can't stop the dance.
If there's a whistle, if there's a drum, it doesn't matter where it's coming from. If there's a fiddle with one good string to play, it'll keep them dancing. They'll dance all night and day. They just can't help it. There's just no stopping. They gotta dance. You can't stop the dance. Watch a move. It doesn't matter. She's just gonna lose herself in the rhythm. Oh, you know she can't sit still. Keep on dancing and dance. They always will. They just can't help it. There's just no stopping. They gotta dance. You can't stop the dance.
My toes are tapping.
Hope you got the jig going. At least jiggling. Well, that was the Ennis Sisters, E-N-N-I-S, Ennis Sisters. We saw them live at the Celtic Festival in Grass Valley, California several years ago, and they certainly have that spirit. And
what was it called?
Can't Stop the Dance.
Can't Stop the Dance.
And that's what happens when you get in that creative flow. You really can't stop it. It just keeps wanting to jump out. Unless you're tired. I notice when I'm tired, I'm not very creative, or if I'm hungry, or if... The challenge for creative living is when I confront something that's uncomfortable, annoying, distasteful, painful. That's where you go the second mile. That's where creativity really calls forth and wants to help us out, and where it's most needed. But in those moments...
And it's no longer distasteful or any of those things, because they're judgmental words. They're none of those things.
Yeah, but it may be uncomfortable. I don't know if that's a judgmental word.
No, it could be uncomfortable, and it could be painful. Yeah.
But
when you finish seeing this movie, you'll be quite surprised at how one can take something so painful and turn it around.
Well, we're talking about a movie called The Railway Man that Rochelle saw last night. I saw part of it. Speaking of creative, one of the things that I found as a way to physically help myself is to use a sauna every night. We have one of these little tent saunas. And
you have a tent sauna.
Right. Rochelle has never...
I've never been in it.
Has never been in my tent sauna. Of course, it's only about 3.5 feet high and about 2 feet wide. And there's not a lot of room for a whole bunch of people in there. Although, when I saw the commercial, a whole bunch of clowns came out of
That's it. That's not true. He's joking. But I think therein, once again, comes, you can be creative, but is it creative living? You know, I think that, yes, we're always creative. I think we can't not be creative. You know, every moment presents itself as an opportunity to untangle a knot or find a new solution to the plumbing or something. But creative living in the moment, living in time and space as if you've never been there before, living in the now, is what creative living is to me. And that's different. And yes, from that, I will always be creative, because how could I not be? Because it's my true nature. So it gives me permission to express my true nature, but in a way that is around connection and around love.
What I'm thinking about now is a book that I'm rereading that I read 30, 40 years ago. It's just a brilliant treatise on the act of creation, and that's the title, The Act of Creation, by Arthur Koestler. What a genius he was. And he looks at the act of creation in humor, science, and art. And one of the fundamental things that he identifies is you've got what he calls a matrix, which is a kind of a belief system / way of perceiving, which is filled with certain assumptions, judgments, history, conditioning, et cetera, that has a kind of inertia. And then it bumps into another system. It's like two weather systems bumping into each other, and lightning and thunder explodes, or in this case, the eureka for the scientist, the aha for the artist, and the laughter. Oh, my God, the laughter for the joke. And it's good to be reminded that we have... Oh. We can only guess what that person is doing to evoke that laughter. But according to Koestler, it's definitely you've got a feeling, energy moving in a certain direction, and it confronts something that's going in a different direction. But you've got the inertia. You're still going along that direction. But when it confronts that other matrix, that other system, that energy that's still going dissipates itself in laughter. And fortunately, we have that capacity within our human.
We do. And we don't have to understand it to enjoy it. And that's the interesting thing. Because to me, you once gave a class and you talked about what comedy was, or what humor was, or something like that. And you talked about looking at it from another perspective, like looking at it from the bottom up, you know, like a completely different perspective. And it can be, the minute you do that, it starts becoming funny. And I never forgot that. And I think that that is a way to live creatively, to constantly see things from a different viewpoint, different, you know, go underneath it, go above it, go places in your vision of it that you've never gone before, and tweak it, you know, see if, you know, there's an enemy.
Well, I used to know how to pronounce it until you said that. Anemone.
Well, you put a little, like a, well, you don't do your finger because you could lose your finger, but a stick or something, and it closes. you know? And it's very interesting because you just poke at it. And I think that humor is like that. You poke at it and it does something. It closes around it and it changes itself as a result of you poking at it. Well, maybe so, that's not a very good image, but, you know, but I like it.
But you know, but it has some real legs. But it
has some real legs.
Yeah, no, but it needs training wheels. That joke, you know. I think if you put the training wheels on that joke, once it gets used, it gets itself upright. It'll actually be funny.
I think the funniest thing to me is just allowing myself not to be serious. Sometimes I just allow myself. I go, I'm going to allow myself to not be serious. I don't allow myself to be funny because I don't know what that's going to be like, but I allow myself not to take myself seriously. And the amazing thing is that I find everything funny when I do that. I give myself permission not to be serious. That's what it is. And I think that that's part of creative living.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I was with a friend the other day and she did something and I got irritated by it because it was too explosive for me what she did. But immediately, just like I think our friendship allowed us to move into another place with it and make it funny. And we did. I said it was toxic. And so she said, well, open the window, get rid of it. And we opened the windows and we were blowing it out. And that was funny. So what a moment which could have led to an antagonism never got there because we chose to find humor in it.
Well, but you're very much on top of the moment in order for that to happen. You have to be very nimble mentally, like a ball player's on his feet, ready to catch that ball wherever it may come. So there's an alertness, there's an attentiveness.
Showing up.
Exactly, showing up. And in order to do that, I can't carry expectations and grievances or unfulfilled desires. I have this expression, actually a title that I thought of, one of the many hundred titles. This one's called Heading Them Off at the Past.
And so heading them off at the past.
Yeah, heading them off at the past. And to head them off at the past is like not to allow that past, except insofar as it leads to wisdom and guides us to make wiser choices in the moment, but not to let the grievances and the unforgiveness hold us. But this is where creativity, creative living can actually come in to assist us, because I can turn my attention into that very phenomenon of me holding on to the past through some kind of blame or anger or victimhood that I jump into and stop and go, well, aren't you being cute, you little victim guy blamer? Holding on to your past because you still haven't forgiven the unfulfillment or the abuse that you experienced at that time. Now,
and anybody could do it any way they that was comfortable for them. But the whole idea is to slough off that as it because it's sticking to you, all that stuff from the past, to slough it off any way you can and get right into the moment that you're in. And in the moment that you're in, you know, you can find joy.
You know, that is a great introduction for a guest we have on our show tonight. Yeah, yeah. We have tonight Chef Mangiore Linguini. You're the god of food, your soul chef. Welcome.
Buongiorno. This is Mangiore Linguini. Tonight we're going to deal with the pasta. Last week's a cooking lesson, we taught you how to prepare a good future. Today's lesson is going to be how to cook up a good pasta. How you make a pasta, how you eat the pasta, how you let go of the pasta, and how you clean up the pasta. Everybody's got a pasta, but I don't know what to do with the pasta. Sometimes the pasta don't taste so good. Sometimes the pasta no let it go. It's a sticky pasta. We think if we recook the pasta over and over, it'll get it better. But the truth is it becomes smelly pasta. Sometimes we think our pasta is supposed to be chewed up and spit out, but you've got to learn the difference between the pasta you keep and use and the kind of pasta you flush it down on, you know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. Some people get it mixed up. They try and flush the good pasta and hold on to the pasta supposed to be flushed. Never have too much spice or meat in your pasta, you know, because then you can totally taste the present. Anyway, prepackaged pasta. We all have lots of help with our pasta, making it, but it's time to let it go. So it's real simple. If your pasta don't taste good, don't keep eating it. I don't know why you want to keep eating the pasta that tastes like a dog shit. I'm sorry. Now, if you want to hold on to your pasta, by the way, you add a cup of guilt. It makes a pasta like it's such a terrible flavor, you'll never forget it. Anyway, thank you. I'm Chef Mangiore Linguini. Remember, my parents have named me after the thing I most like it, they most like it to do, which is Mangiore Linguini.
Yeah, that's very funny. Thank you so much, Mangiore. I hope you come back sometime and give us another little lesson in cooking your style.
Wow, that was really great. Well, you know, what I'd like to do is feature somebody, a singer in this case, that is so beautiful and is so creative. And what she does with this song, which is so familiar, is really something special. It's Eva Cassidy, and she's a recent discovery on my part. And unfortunately, she died in 1996 of cancer. But here's Eva singing one of the most famous and popular songs in America. And yet what she brings to it makes it just stand out in its total uniqueness. So don't expect this version of Over the Rainbow to be like any other version you've ever heard.
Thank you.
It sure is different.
Yeah.
So you it's have to quite beautiful.
Very beautiful. So it's interesting where the place where dreams come true. Let's listen and maybe talk about your dreams, listening audience out there, and just determine if they come true. Now, in this song, which is from a movie that says, if you build it, they will come.
Field of Dreams.
Yeah. And this piece of music is called The Place Where Dreams Come True. And if you allow the music to just help you suspend expectation and take you into that open field where things are seen anew, just as in that movie, Field of Dreams, where he had a different relationship with his father as a result of the magic and the fantasy. But our creative imagination can take us there. Creative living. So we are Inside Out, the Naked Truth, and I'm Errol Strider with my spouse, Rochelle Strider. And we are broadcasting live from Lupin Lodge in Los Gatos, where clothing is optional.
But the truth is always naked.
And as Rochelle started off tonight suggesting, being nude isn't just skin deep. And what we're about is stripping away that which is fundamentally unreal and seeing if we can drop down to that which is most real and most essential and live our life from that place of authenticity.
The strangest thing of all is that when you do that, it does come out different. You know, like I absolutely loved Judy Garland when I was growing up, and I'm still growing up, so I still love Judy Garland. And when I heard her sing that song, The Wizard of Oz, and then I heard her sing it live, I was very fortunate to be in the audience when she gave a concert. I knew one of the musicians, so I was able to go to the rehearsal and the concert. And she sang that song. And she got into it, and she made every single word alive as if she'd never sung that song before. It was brand new. She was discovering new things in it. And yet it was the song that you recognized. And here this woman is singing that song and finding new things in it that is so totally different than the original version. That to me is like immediately you're entering into a space and you're allowing who you are to impact that space, to impact that music. And then it will come out different. So once again, it's the engagement of you with something. In this case, it's a song. And it will change because of that. And I think that's the exciting thing about creative living is it's always changing. And I think we're afraid of change. That's why we don't live creatively. We want to keep it the way it was before because it's predictable and we understand it. And it's not going to hurt us if I understand it and I can predict it. But if I can't, well, maybe it will hurt me. So to be safe, we close down our creative involvement with life. And, you know, you often hear people say, well, you can't be a dreamer anymore. You've got to grow up. That dreaming is part of being infantile. It's not part of being an adult. And I didn't ever want to grow up because of it. I thought, my God, what a ridiculous thing to do is to let go of your imagination, your dreams, your wonder, your joy, your creative living. To grow up would be awful.
And my wife never did grow up. She got up to about 5 feet tall, and that was about as far as she got.
And then she started shrinking.
Now, we have to really look closely to find her. But we know she's there because we hear her voice. I'm up to the bed. It reminds me of that amazing movie, The Incredible Shrinking Man. If you've never seen that movie, it was a 1950s black and white movie. It's really something.
It's a classic. They've made, you know, funny things out of it. What was her name?
Lily Tomlin.
Lily Tomlin, you know, made a funny movie. But this movie that we're talking about is I would say, a philosophically powerful movie
It was
in terms
profound.
Of who we are and an existential phenomenon.
An existential phenomenon.
I would say that too, my dear.
And one should have an existential phenomenon for dessert at least once a day.
At least once a day with lots and lots of chocolate.
Chocolate. So
An existential phenomenon, by the way. Chocolate.
Yes, it is chocolate. I don't know if Go Raw has chocolate as part of their line. I'll have to check on that. But, you know, I eat raw chocolate daily. And it curiously, it doesn't have a lot of taste. It's kind of crunchy, though, and I stick it in my almond butter. Rochelle's eyes woken up. Where are you going with the eyes? Stick it in. I can see you're kidding. No,
stop that. You're making it worse. My eyes were one thing, but nobody could see that.
Well, now they can, sort of. But yeah, if you take raw cacao nuts and you mix it with really good almond butter, man, you've got a food there. You could retire on that food.
Yeah, but I do think that Go Raw, don't they do seeds?
Well, they do seeds, of course. Yes. They do seeds and they sprout things. And matter of fact, the owner was when I met him, he was kind of a sprout.
He's adorable.
He's a very sweet man.
And if you're listening, hello, how are you?
So let's see if we can wrap up the next few minutes before we leave you. We started off by this quote from one of our favorite books, the Arantxa book, which is a source of major wisdom and insight and very radical perspective on our human experience. And they have a line that says, religious living is devoted living, and devoted living is creative living, original and spontaneous. And to be able to live in that state of freedom, but at the same time, there's finding a balance between controlling certain aspects of your life so that you're safe and nourished and kind of get where you plan to get. At the same time, be open to the possibility that where you end up has just as much for you there as where you were intending to go, and the hope and assumption of what that place and time would offer you. And it's good to take a departure on a regular basis, or from a creative point of view, on an irregular basis.
The thing that I find about creative living is that you don't plan it. It's like if you planned a departure, it wouldn't be the same as allowing for the departure.
Well, I think
you being open to the departure. And as you walk down the street and you go, I'm going to go here. And all of a sudden your attention is drawn there. And unless you're meeting somebody who would be very upset by you not getting there, go there. Go to the other place because it's drawing you and there's an adventure there.
I think it's both and. I think you can choose to go. Like, I remember I was driving long distances across the middle of the country, and I consciously made myself, when I looked out the window, in the split second that I was going to look out the window, I was determined to see something that was brand new, unexpected.
Well, you practiced. That's because you didn't know how to do that before, so you had to train yourself.
I did have to train myself. And with that, we're gonna let you go in just a few minutes. You can reach us at our website, thelaughingheart.org. You can come visit us at Lupin Lodge in Los Gatos. It's absolutely gorgeous here in Northern California. And you can have optional clothing or something
optional
like that.
Optional clothing? You can be in a clothing optional
place. Oh,
that's
right. Clothing optional place. And or send me an email, estrider@gmail.com, and I promise I will respond. And any last remarks about being devoted and creative?
Now just remember that resistance is you add to pain to make it last longer and hurt more.
Remember that? Okay. Resistance is what you add to pain? What'd you say?
To make it last longer and hurt more.
And good night. And we will be with you again next week at the same time.